Thanks for tuning in to the Falcon Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Dean Jansen, mild-mannered manager of the Falcon Theater in Tisdale, Saskatchewan. Together with my son, Noah Jansen, the self-professed movie snob, we're going to enlighten and entertain you with our immense movie knowledge. So sit back and relax. But if you're currently driving a vehicle, don't relax too much. But enjoy this episode of the Falcon Theater Podcast.
All right. Welcome back to the Falcon Theater Podcast. I just took a look and it was May 29th, the last time we recorded a podcast.
It's almost exactly, what would that be, 2-3 months to the day? It's just a small hiatus.
Yeah, well, we had to take a summer break, just like, everyone else. Everyone else gets a summer break.
People were probably thinking, oh, geez, Dean's retiring from everything now.
Oh, no, we're not retiring from this, that's for sure. This is our 10th podcast, so a bit of an, milestone there, too.
This is double digits, you know. It's, I think, honestly, if you make it past the 10-year, 10-episode podcast, that means I think you're set for life.
Yeah, I think we should get a trophy or something for reaching 10, you know.
It's going to be like just like a fart trophy or something like that.
It makes me think of, I remember my first anniversary, I went golfing with my friends and missed our, we had a supper reservation at a restaurant in Saskatoon and I missed it. And my wife was not very happy with me. And me, you know, being whatever, 25-ish, and I was a smart guy. I said to her, well, come on, everybody's been married for 1 year. When you reach 10 years, that's something. So, you know, that went over well.
Jesus, it's a miracle I was even born.
It really is, actually. Oh, she put up with a lot. And this year we just reached our 30th. So we're kind of, you know, it was 10 year. We did a heck of a lot more than we did for our 30th anyway. But
that's fair.
I guess when you reach 10, it's something. When you reach 30, it's like, whatever. No, it's been good. Anyway, welcome back to the Falcon Theater Podcast. Just a little bit what's happening at the Falcon Theater. The renovations are almost done. The siding is pretty much up. We have to get the electricity ran for the poster boxes and a few little details to add on. But for the most part, it's looking great.
Yeah, it looks awesome. When you drove by it there when we were home last, and yeah, it looks so slick out there.
Brad Schreiner's done a great job. Him and Adam Lewis been working on it, and they're just awesome. So, what's coming up?
That's great.
Falcon Theater. We've got this weekend. Sounds like it's going to be a busy weekend. It's called It Ends With Us. It's the Blake Lively movie. Then I've got Deadpool and Wolverine, which has Blake Lively's husband in it.
And that's next weekend, like not this one, but the following one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wow. Yeah. Double. What would it be there? Their family's taken over the Falcon Theater.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But when I was trying to pick a movie for this weekend, I had never heard of It Ends With Us. But your mother was like, "Oh no, that's a book club movie. You should get that one." So I got it, and it looks like we're going to be super busy. There's lots of buzz around it, lots of people coming, and your mother took off to Edmonton to see Pink for the weekend. So
funny how that works, eh?
Yeah, I know, right? So we got It Ends With Us, then Deadpool and Wolverine, then we're going to show the M. Night Shyamalan movie Trap, and the Beetlejuice sequel, and we're going to end off September with The Crow, which isn't getting real good reviews to start with, but we'll give it a try.
Lionsgate's just having a year this year, because they're also the ones behind the Megalopolis debacle, that whole trailer thing that happened. So, like, three big things in the last month.
That's unfortunate for them.
You know, it's funny. I read a funny comment from the original director of, like, the 90s Crow movie, And it was saying how, you know, when I first heard they were remaking the Crow from my movie in the 90s or whatever, he's like, I was thinking this is just going to be some shameless cash grab, but seeing how things are going, I don't think there's much cash that's being grabbed from it.
Oh, no. I've actually, I had somebody reach out about the getting the poster after the movie's done. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So there is some interest in it.
Anyway. I love the Brandon Lee, the Crow movie. Like, I remember I even bought, like, the graphic novel after I saw it and everything. Like, I really enjoyed that movie, but yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see how it goes. So, yeah. So that's what's happening at the Falcon Theater. My wife and I are taking off for a couple of weeks, so I'm training some young fellas to step in and run the show while I'm not there. So that'll be good. Be good to get a little break. We haven't had a break in a while.
It's been busy.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to some movie discussions. First of all, I just wanted to give a big shout out. I guess this is still Falcon Theater stuff, but big shout out to Greg Johnson for helping us put together the biggest movie since the Super Mario movie that we had. It's been a good summer, but Twisters was definitely the highlight. We had over 600 people come. We blew the Barbie movie out of the water for attendance.
Well, if you would have had the actual Barbie come to your movie, then maybe it would have been, been able to claim that title.
Well, I did have a Barbie there. I gave away a Barbie doll at the movie. Barbie.
No, you need a life-size, fully talking everything Barbie.
Yeah, no, we might attract the wrong type of guys with that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, shout out to Greg for, because I'm sure about half the people came just because we had the Tornado Hunter there talking about Twisters and stuff before and after the movie. Oh, that was great. Really helps out the theater.
That's awesome.
So back to It Ends With Us and Deadpool and Wolverine. They were the number one and two movies here this summer. And do you know the last time that a husband and wife had the top two movies at the box office?
I honestly can't even like really think of like what movie couples even there. I mean, none probably in my lifetime.
Well, this was before you were born. It was 34 years ago. In 1990, Demi Moore and Bruce Willis had the top two movies at the box office.
I'm going to guess Bruce Willis's was probably like a Die Hard sequel.
It was. It was Die Hard 2. Do you know what Demi Moore was in?
I don't think I could even name a single Demi Moore movie.
It's like one of your mother's favorite movies of all time.
Oh, well, I've been banished from the family then.
Uh-huh. It's Ghost. With Patrick Swayze. Okay.
That came out in 1990?
1990, yeah.
I thought that was more of an 80s. I guess 90s, really. Like,
actually, the year I met your mother was 1990. So,
are you saying you're a ghost?
Well, I'm not saying I'm not.
Oh, geez.
her and I haven't made any clay pottery stuff, though. So.
Oh, okay. Although I do think Mom wouldn't be too heartbroken to know that you were Patrick Swayze, so
that's true. So I mean, we know how Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's marriage ended up. So what do you think? Are we gonna Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds? Is it gonna be better?
I mean, they seem, I would assume, better than a 90s power couple. Maybe all we're in for is Ryan Reynolds ending up with like dementia or something like that, because that seems to be the unfortunate way that Bruce Willis's life has gone down. Yeah, that's so sad.
That makes me sad because he's
such a big part of Hollywood there for the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
I enjoyed his movies. I never watched Moonlighting. I wasn't into his TV show. I think it was called Moonlighting. I never watched it.
I didn't even know he was in a TV show.
Yeah, that's actually when they cast Die Hard. He got the role and everybody was like, what? He's just some TV actor. Like, they were really surprised that he got that role.
Which is funny now because of like, you know, the quality of television. Like some actors, it's almost more prestigious to be a TV. Like think about like Breaking Bad, like with what's his name there? Bryan Cranston. You know what I mean? Like some now even like TV roles are even more highly regarded than movies. But I mean, yeah, back then it was more of the sitcoms and everything like that, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. Back then movies were seen as the pinnacle, whereas now, well, a lot of it is the Netflix stuff though.
Yeah. The rise of streaming and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's interesting that it's been that long since there's been a Hollywood power couple, both, you know, claim the box office.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was an interesting stat. A little bit of Dean knows instead of knowing him. I got a question for you, son.
What's that?
Do you think Pedro Pascal is doing too much?
Like, are you asking him if I think he's stressed out?
No, I mean, he seems to be in everything. Like, everybody wants him on their show now. And, like, he's Mr. Fantastic now. He's in the new Gladiator 2 movie. He's, of course, still doing The Last of Us, The Mandalorian. I checked when I saw that he was Mr. Fantastic, I checked his IMDb, and he has 11 things in production right now.
Jeez, and I mean, like, you got to think that probably when, like, a lot of those are done, like, you know, you just wanted to take it because that's busy work, especially doing like, you know, it's not like they're just, say, a small independent movie where, you know, you just gotta, you know, you're a normal person. Like, all of these are going to be big set pieces with big budgets. And you know what I mean? Like,
it's actually pretty amazing that he can manage the time for all of these things.
And not just that on top of it, but also giving, in my opinion, pretty high quality performances in those roles. You know, like, he can play a little bit more of the gruff kind of, you know, like in The Last of Us or The Mandalorian. But like, I think if you see Mr. Fantastic or like the Fantastic Four movie, you know, it's going to be a bit of a different role than you see him in the Mandalorian. Now, I think The Mandalorian, a lot of that is just him voicing it over. Like, I don't know how much he's actually doing. Like, a lot of the action scenes are like, they have the stunt doubles do a lot of the action stuff for him,
I suppose. Yeah,
you know, but still, let me last
it has to be on set.
Exactly. Yeah, so no, he's definitely getting some pretty good paydays. But like, anytime I see an interview with him, he just seems like just such a genuinely just pleasant person. Like, for Hollywood celebrities, like, he seems like he really cares about the fans and he really cares about the work he does do, you know?
I know you're a big fan of him, and I like his acting as well. And you know what? I don't blame him. Like, get your money while you can, because you don't know. Next week you might be blacklisted, like, in Hollywood. But Mr. Fantastic, I don't see him in that role.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I really liked Jim from The Office.
John Krasinski.
I really thought he would be a great Mr. Fantastic, and I don't know why they didn't go that direction, because they had him in that one. What was he in? He was in the one movie.
The Doctor Strange. And I read that literally the only reason they added it is because it was like almost a nod to like fans who had been casting him in that role.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's essentially why they asked him to do that.
I guess with the multiverse, they can cast anybody in any role, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know,
like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, that's an interesting choice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've mentioned on this podcast before, but I'm sick of the multiverse thing. I know that Deadpool and Wolverine, it's in there again, and I'm really hoping this is kind of the end of it. But
they handle it in a very interesting way, a way that I was not annoyed by.
Yeah, I know you've seen it already. I have not, so we'll have to do another podcast after I've had a chance to see the movie.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Good. Yeah, I think I will too. Moving on, because we've got lots to talk about because it's been a long time. I saw the trailer for an interesting biopic coming out. It's called Reagan, starring Dennis Quaid.
Really?
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but that's it's interesting because, I mean, Reagan himself was an actor, you know, but is it just like a movie that's like, I'm going to assume it's probably talking very highly about Reagan. It's not kind of like, say how the Priscilla movie kind of was a, you know, a bit of an expose on Elvis kind of type thing, like kind of showed some of the dirt. I'm sure it's probably just like, you know, showing how great Reagan was, I'm assuming.
You know what? From the trailer, you can't really tell. And I hope they examine all aspects of his life. He's actually the first president that I remember. Like, I was 11 when he was elected. So he was the first. I know there was like Jimmy Carter and that before and that, but I was young and didn't really understand that stuff. And I remember when Reagan got elected, it was a big deal.
Do you remember when Reagan got shot?
Oh yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Do you know that the guy who shot Reagan is actually a free man right now and has like a Twitter account and actively posts on Twitter his art and music?
Really?
Yeah, and all the comments are like, hey, next time, John, can you make sure you shoot better? And like, after Trump had his whole thing, they're like, John, you could do the funniest thing ever right now.
So I enjoy a good biopic, and I'm interested in Reagan. And from the trailer, Dennis Quaid has the inflections of Reagan. He doesn't really look that much like Ronald Reagan, in my opinion, but he has the voice, he has the inflections. So
interesting. I'll have to see how that goes. It's just him getting the CIA to distribute crack into impoverished communities for 2 hours.
That's it. Yep. That's it's actually, he doesn't even leave the Oval Office during the whole movie.
It's just him answering the phone. It's the movie is there's an after credit scene of him being diagnosed with dementia.
Another movie that I saw is I had no idea this was happening, and I'm super excited about it. They're making a movie of Peaky Blinders.
Oh, interesting. So kind of what they're doing with like The Mandalorian, like a movie to kind of tie up the series kind of type thing, hey?
Well, I hope so, because I did not enjoy the last season of Peaky Blinders, and the ending I did not like.
I think that's, I still have to get through the last season. I should go and rewatch the series, because it's been a couple years. I think I got to the last season, I got bored or something like that. But I mean, I love Cillian Murphy. Yeah,
from what I've read, he has signed on to do the movie.
I mean, I think that would probably have been a deal breaker, because I don't think you could really do it without him. You know, they easily probably would do it without them if they could in Hollywood. But like, I'm sure that it is gonna add. I mean, it adds just so much to the show. So much of the show is Tommy Shelby. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, he is, absolutely. It would have to be like a Peaky Blinders story if he wasn't in it. It couldn't be Peaky Blinders, yeah. Right?
Like, even though there is the ensemble, he is the main character of the show.
Yeah, yeah. And interestingly enough, I know this is one of your favorites, Barry Keoghan from Banshees of Inisherin. He has been cast in it.
See, I don't know why, but I always felt like I thought he was already in the show, but I guess not. No,
no, no, no.
I think it's just because everybody, they all have that same kind of haircut, you know?
Maybe, eh? Yeah, yeah. And I was reading the guy who created the series, Stephen Knight, and he's written the film, and he has said that the story will take place during World War II.
So quite a time jump, because it takes place mostly in what, the 20s, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's after World War One. Because there's always Tommy Shelby's always having like his flashbacks from the war in the earlier seasons.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's like a 20-year time jump.
So I guess they're gonna explain why Tommy Shelby looks older. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? Eh.
Yeah. And apparently the film's set to begin production in September. So
I got a couple days if I want to get on the movie, eh?
You better get on it, yeah.
They're just me in the background waving. Who's that guy? Get him out of here.
So just moving along here. We're just covering so many topics so quick.
We've got a lot to fill in for since...
Yeah. You were talking to your friend Blaine.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, he was talking to me about that he's working on the sequel to Nobody, the Bob Odenkirk kind of John Wick like action movie, and he was saying that Bob Odenkirk's a lot shorter than he was expecting. So it kind of had us talking about, you know, how a lot of celebrities are, you know, you see them as these more grandiose, and I think a lot of it is to do with the characters are portraying, and they use, you know, camera angles and everything and forced perspective to make them seem bigger or whatever. But it kind of had us talking on, you know, how short are celebrities that, you know, you have met in life. And I mean, I remember when we went to the one, whatever it was, Saskatoon, like comic expo thing, and Mom got a picture with like Ron Perlman, like from Sons of Anarchy and Hellboy. And he was like the same height as Mom. And I was like, what the hell? Dude, this is Hellboy. Hellboy's like 8 feet tall. Why is he the same height as my mom? You know,
I'll have to see if I can find that picture and post it when I post the podcast.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like, and you know, it's kind of funny. I was just thinking too, like, you know, when they were making the original X-Men movie, there was a lot of complaints about them hiring Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because he's like over 6 feet tall. And people were complaining that was too tall to play Wolverine.
Right, yeah. Because
Wolverine is like 5 foot D, like 5 foot two or something like that, you know? Actually, you know what celebrity is apparently like notoriously like weirdly short is Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
He's like 5 foot four or something like that.
I'm going to look it up because I can't remember. I know he's short.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but...
He is 1.7 meters, which doesn't mean, isn't that funny? I've grown up with metric and 1.7 meters doesn't mean anything to me. 5'5", that is 5.57 feet. So
5'5", but 5.5, and I'm sure Tom rounds it up to a good 6 foot.
Probably. Yeah. I always like the story or the little tidbit that, in Lord of the Rings, the guy that plays Gimli, the dwarf.
Yeah.
He's actually the tallest person
of the entire cast.
Of the main cast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like something like 6 foot three or something like that. I mean, like, it's so amazing that they were able to do like for the original movies, like the forced perspective, but I can't even imagine the math and the hoops you'd have to go through setting up a set. And having the actors having to stand in those positions and everything like that to give that illusion, you know?
I know, yeah. Yeah, especially like, when there's such a height differential.
I guess that's why they have millions and millions of dollars that they spend on it.
I guess, yeah. It's all the special effects are just to get the actors' heights right. That's it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh, well. Gone forever.
Yep, it's gone forever. It says Ron Perlman is 1.8 meters.
So just a little bit taller than Tom Cruise. 10
centimeters.
Yeah. That's just wild to me.
5 foot and 5.9 feet. So almost 6 feet. But definitely shorter than what... When we saw him in real life, he was definitely shorter and smaller than
be around my height, which I mean, I don't feel like I'm Hellboy size. So,
oh, I remember what I was going to say. We mom had her live with Mark and what's her name. Anyway,
whatever Regis and Kelly is now.
Yeah, yeah, Kelly and Mark. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She had that on the other day, and Dave Bautista was on there. And holy moly, that man is a giant. Well, he's huge. Like
he definitely is the one that like. Okay, that's Drax. That's 100% Drax.
Yeah. Now Mark, the guy on the show, is very tiny. So I mean, Dave Bautista looked enormous in height and stature. Next to Mark.
Maybe they had him sitting closer to the camera.
That's it. Yeah. It's a tilted room too.
Yeah. It's a stipulation that he has to have forced perspective on interview shows to look bigger.
I thought that was interesting that Blaine thought Bob Odenkirk was short. I would expect Bob Odenkirk to be short, you know, Just seeing him on TV. Like, he doesn't seem like a big guy.
No, 100%.
And then that's actually why that show Nobody surprised me. I was pleasantly surprised. When I put it on, I actually knew nothing about it. And I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I like Bob Odenkirk. So I threw it on, and it was a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see it, but I heard really good things about it for, like, kind of a pseudo, almost kind of John Wick-like kind of, like, you know, you don't realize he's this, you know, super badass kind of.
Yeah, you know. You don't mess with him.
No.
Leads me into the next part. What have we been watching recently? Because Mom and I have been watching the TV show Bosch on Amazon Prime. So what happened, and I'm going to come back to Bob Odenkirk in a second, but what happened was this summer we were at the lake and I'd forgotten to bring a book to read, and Mom had a bunch of books in the camper. So I grabbed this book called Bosch. Knew nothing about it, started reading it, really enjoyed it. And then realized that it's a TV show. There's like 7 seasons on Amazon Prime.
So immediately threw that book in the fire. You're like, give me television.
Actually, it's funny because the book was called The Burning Room. So,
Oh my God.
So we've started binging this show, Bosch. And Bosch is he's a police detective, investigator. And he's pretty small stature, but you don't fuck around with him. Like, he's
kind of. It sounds like you're just describing Monk.
Maybe. I've never watched Monk.
Well, I think he's just very small stature. You don't mess with him. I don't know. Ask Eric.
Why? Why do we ask Eric?
Because Eric's like obsessed with it.
Monk?
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of, you're not, you know, not Monk.
No, I'm not.
No. Come on. Why can't I think of the name? He's going to be mad at me for not knowing the name of it. He watches it all the time. Right? Columbo. Yeah.
I think it's all the same. They're all short, really smart detectives.
Columbo is not Monk. No. But no, yeah, Eric loves watching Columbo.
But that's good. It's a 7 seasons of it. That's that's a good binge amount for a TV show.
Yeah, well, there's like 7 seasons, and then they do this Bosch Legacy, which is I haven't gotten to it yet, but they change up the storyline or something. So I think all in all, there's like 8 or 9 different seasons of it or something. So
is it like a recently made show, or is it like an older show? Or,
well, no, like it started in the 2010s.
Oh, okay.
So, and they're still making it.
The story's not over yet.
Your mother's gone for the weekend. She went to see Pink up in Edmonton. And so I said to her, like, the worst part of her leaving is I can't watch Bosch for 3 days. I don't know what I'm going to do. So we finished up season 5 last night. So it was the end of the season. So I can take a break for a few days.
Yeah, there you go. Feel like how, you know, you got to wait for the next season to come out in a couple days.
yeah, exactly. So that's something I've been watching anyway. What about you?
Honestly, I haven't watched a lot of TV, but I've been watching a lot of movies this summer. So I saw Long Legs.
Want to see that.
It's on video on demand now. It just this last whatever Friday, I believe, or so, it came on video demand, and I've already rewatched it a second time. But
I demand video.
it honestly, like, it for movies that have come out this year, it for sure, like, in my top 5, like, might even be in my top 3, and it's definitely in my top 5 favorite, like, horror movies of all time. And it's not even really a horror movie, like, it's I don't want to say too much without giving away the movie itself, but, like, for example, I went and saw it in the theaters and I had my, like, smartwatch on, and I checked after, and there was points in the movie where my heart rate spiked into, like, up to like 110 just due to the suspense. It's like, to kind of give like a quick little rundown, it's about like a FBI agent who is tracking these family murders that are happening like all around the country, and all of them look as though they would be like a murder suicide. Like, all of them have the same MO of like the father killing the family and then killing himself. So you wouldn't think they would be connected, but every single one of these houses have had these families murdered and have like a Zodiac like letter left signed Longlegs at the end. And Longlegs is played by Nicolas Cage. And you honestly, like, you don't even recognize him in the role. Like, you can kind of get a little bit of the Nicolas Cage weirdness from it. But going into the movie, it was not what I was going to expect at all. And it was, like, just absolutely fantastic. Like, the cinematography and the sound design are top-notch.
You don't recognize him because of, like, prosthetics or...
Prosthetics, like he does not look like Nicolas Cage, and just the character that he plays and everything. There's so many just interesting ways they're using the camera. Like, kind of for a quick little example, like when they go and do flashbacks into the 70s, all of the camera like closes in, almost looking like a Super 8 film. You know?
Oh, really?
With the old cameras that had kind of like, instead of it being a square box, it's like the rounded edges kind of type thing, you know? And that's how they do all the flashbacks to show the time difference, that they use like an older type camera, you know? So reading online, people either loved it or hated it. I think a lot of people were expecting something. It was more they were disappointed because it wasn't what they expected, but I loved that it wasn't what I expected. Like, it took a completely different direction I thought it was going to go, and I loved it for that. But yeah, Nicolas Cage, I honestly was saying like that this will probably be like, you know, for his career, one of the roles he'll be really remembered for, because it's such a unique character that he kind of portrays in the movie. So yeah.
It's not one that I looked at it for the theater, I thought about it, but it, to be honest, like horror movie, suspense type horror has not done well typically at our theater. And so I didn't know anything about it, but I didn't book it because it just didn't look like something that would do well.
The theater that when we went and saw it in Regina here, the theater actually was packed for the movie, which was actually surprising, because I kind of was like, well, it's kind of a, like, not like an indie movie, but it is like a little bit more of like a, not a huge major release. But and the interesting thing too is the director, Oz Perkins, famously his dad was Anthony Perkins, who played the original Norman Bates in the original Psycho movie.
Oh, cool.
So a little bit, you know, he has a little bit of horror background in his family. And then I guess just on the topic of horror, I also just the other week watched a movie on Netflix called Talk to Me. Came out in about, I think, 2022. It's an A24 movie made in, like, Australia. It's a bunch of, like, Australian teens. And it's essentially about, like, these teens are going to, like, these parties and stuff. And there's this, like, creepy, like, possessed hand. And people, all the teens are doing, like, kind of like a, you know, like a Bloody Mary kind of type ritual where they grab onto the hand and they say the magic words, and they for like 90 seconds get like possessed and everything, and all the other teens are recording them, and you know, and then they blow out the candle and the kid gets brought back and everything. And so I think it's kind of like, it was a bit of a commentary on, I think, you know, the dangers of partying and drugs and like, you know, the peer pressure of doing it. But it was for a ghost movie, it was not the most like typical kind of like, oh, and now there's the ghosts and there's the jump scare. Like, it was a very unique take on possession and ghost stories, and it's a quick watch. It's only about 90 minutes, so goes by really quick, and it's ties it up nicely. And it was a really, really good movie.
I might have to try and check that one out.
Yeah, I mean again, it's A24, so I'll always eat those up, but
yeah, there's a new A24 movie coming to theaters here right away. What's it called? It's about this girl. Her mother-in-law or her grandmother-in-law taking over her house.
Is that the Front Room? Is that
The Front Room? That's an A24. Yeah,
Again, I don't know. I've seen a couple of the trailers quickly pop up, but I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I've just done a little bit of reading, just kind of looking at what to book going into October, and that was one of the movies that was on the list that I was looking at.
Oh, sweet.
I don't know if I'll book it or not, but definitely one I'm looking at.
Yeah. Besides your TV shows, any movies that you've seen every movie that's kind of come to the theater probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't watched every movie. There's lots of movies that I'm just too busy. And so I don't get to see them because.
Okay. Well, how about this for the ones that you have seen, what was your favorite one that you brought to the theater this summer?
Honestly, probably Inside Out 2.
Oh, really? You know, I haven't actually seen it yet. And it's like the highest grossing Pixar movie of all time. And I have not seen Inside Out 2 yet.
Yeah. It really nailed teenage emotion. Like they hit the nail on the head, in my opinion. They got it right. I've actually watched a pile of movies since our last podcast, in the last 3 months. I've watched The Fall Guy, I've watched Mad Max, Furiosa, The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Bad Boys, Ride or Die, Fly Me to the Moon, Harold and the Purple Crayon, Borderlands. I've watched a lot of movies, but none of them, I didn't love any of them.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, this kind of summer, everything. There have been a lot of really just, like, fine, okay movies, you know? I feel like, compared to, I think, last year was such a standout year for like film and movies, like, you know, with Barbie and Oppenheimer and everything. Like, so many movies that were coming out were just like knocking it out of the park. I'm not saying that it's bad this year. Like, we still, like I said, we've had Long Legs, you've had Dune 2 and everything. Like, there's still been some great movies that have come out, but I feel like it's a little bit more lackluster than previous years here.
I enjoyed Fly Me to the Moon. It was a fun movie. I didn't love it, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was good. And that's a lot of the movies I've watched. I've enjoyed them. I just didn't love them. There hasn't been one that I was like blown away this year. Borderlands. I enjoyed it. Didn't love it, you know.
Took it for what it is. Yeah, I think I saw it's already being released here at the like the cheapy theater here in Regina.
Yeah, and it's going to be on. It's coming out. You can buy it on streaming coming up.
I think today or this weekend. I'll probably go. I want to watch it just to almost see how bad it is. Like,
It's not as bad as the fanboys, the purists are saying. Like, if you mom who knows nothing about Borderlands watched it and she quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I think that's tough because I heard too, it's not very, like, it's not violent, like, gory as the games are, you know, like, it's a PG-13 movie, you know?
So I do have one small confession to make. The biggest movie that we've had this year, I mentioned earlier, is Twisters, and I didn't get to see it. The weekend it was here, we had so many people, I was super busy, and my plan was to sit down and watch it, like, in between or outside of the movies, and I just was too busy. So that's one that I'm going to have to try and
catch. So what you're saying is you've been bought out by a big tornado to not be there for the propaganda against tornadoes.
That's right, that's right. I don't know why our school is the Tisdale Tornadoes. I know, as far as I know, we've never had a tornado here in Tisdale.
Not just that, but why is the mascot a white tiger? Like, white tigers and tornadoes. Ah, yes, the two things that Tisdale, Saskatchewan is known for.
I know, right? Well, if you walk the streets of Tisdale, there'll be white tigers that'll be, you gotta watch out for them. They'll jump on you. And if they don't get you, the tornadoes will.
Why was it not like, say, like the Tasmanian Devils and have like Taz spinning in the tornado, you know?
Yeah, that would have been. I wasn't at the meeting, so I don't know if anybody was at the meetings where they decided on Tornado and White Tiger. That happened in 1997-ish. So if anybody was there and knows the answer to that, you know, leave a comment and let us know. Because I taught there for 27 years? I still don't, or no, 24 years. And I had no idea why that was chosen as... Anyway, we are the home of the Tornadoes.
Apparently.
Yeah. So yeah, so lots of movies that I've enjoyed, but nothing that I've loved. One question, Mom and I were talking about this, and I have a little bit of a secret watch, a show that I don't know why I enjoy it, and Mom and I watch it together, and it's called, I don't know, have you ever watched Emily in Paris?
Jody has watched it. I have not seen. I think I've seen like a couple episodes here and there, like she'll put it on while I'm cooking supper, and then I'll kind of come upstairs and just while we're eating, kind of just have it on. But I know there's a girl named Emily, and she's a fashion designer or something.
She's an advertising person.
Okay, yeah.
In the fashion world, she does advertising fashion. It's not a show that would normally. I don't know why. I kind of. It's like this little secret. Enjoyment
guilty, out of guilty, guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre. I shouldn't enjoy it, but I do.
You do.
Yeah. Anyway, where are we at? We're just over 40 minutes. We've got a couple things left to do. So let's move on to Noah Knows.
All right. So I mean, it's been a while, so you know, figured I might as well make the return of Noah Knows a Star Wars Noah Knows. So what I was kind of reading up recently, so Ewan McGregor, who we know plays just the kind of the small, lesser known role of Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels.
I don't do I know this guy?
Yeah, he kind of looks like Jesus. Hello there. Yeah. So he, when he did the prequels, he was a huge Star Wars fan. Like, they actually had to tell him while making the prequels that he had to stop making the lightsaber noises himself because they were going to add it in post because he was going like, vroom, vroom, when he was playing Obi-Wan. But one of the reasons why he loves Star Wars is because he's talked about this in interviews before growing up, that when he went and saw the original New Hope, he was all excited because his mom took him and a cousin or brother or something like that to the movie because they were going to go see their uncle who was in this new space movie. So they go to the movie and everything, and they watch and just obviously fell in love with it. And at the end of A New Hope, during the attack on the Death Star, there is his uncle, who is actor. His uncle was an actor named Dennis Lawson, who plays Wedge Antilles in.
No way.
Yeah, that's his uncle. That kind of, and that was one of the reasons why he wanted himself get into Star Wars, because his uncle was in it. He fell in love with it because his uncle was, you know, Wedge Antilles in it. And on top of that, Ewan McGregor. I don't know if this is the same brother. Or if, again, I don't know the exact story, but I know that. The story is he has a brother who flies for the Royal Air Force in the United Kingdom, and apparently his pilot call sign is OB2 instead of OB1. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That is cool, yeah.
Like for a call sign, I feel like you can't really get more badass than that.
Absolutely.
But then. Or about kind of
story you just cut out there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're back.
There we go. Kind of reading more on, I was, you know, about A New Hope and Star Wars. So I was reading about kind of grossing for movies. And so obviously Star Wars was for 1977, the highest grossing film of that year. One sec, I wrote down exactly how much it made. Which doesn't seem like a lot, but I guess back then this was a lot. So Star Wars in 1977 made $306 million during its run. But do you know what movie in 1977 was the second highest grossing movie behind Star Wars for that year?
I probably should, because when we did our what is was the best year in movies? That was like one of my.
It is. I know it is a movie that you really like.
Yeah.
So.
Tell me, I can't make a guess.
So the number two highest grossing film of 1977 was Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, I was going to guess Smokey and the Bandit.
to show the comparison from number one being Star Wars at $306 million, the number two, Smokey and the Bandit, made $126 million, and that was number two.
Wow.
And then looks like Close Encounters of the Third Kind was like close behind Smokey and the Bandit with $115 or something like that. But
yeah.
I just found that funny that, you know, the big sci-fi space movie is, you know, the number one, and then the next one is it's just Burt Reynolds.
It's because kids like me went to see Star Wars. I went 8 times in the theater to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was the only way you could see it. And I absolutely loved it. So,
you know, and that's curious to think, like, if the ability for at-home video and everything like that, would a lot of those older movies have not made as much money if there would have been an option that, oh, in 6 months I'll be able to see it at home? You know what I mean?
Because
that was the only way you could see it, you know?
Yeah.
And not only on top of that, but even going further into like the 40s and 50s, they would also have before the movies, you know, the Flash Gordon, the serials that you could watch, that people would go just to see them each week. Or, you know, even during like World War II, they would have like before movies, news updates from the war and everything like that, completely unrelated to the movie. That was just the way you kind of consumed visual media then, you know? So how much of the movie profit was due to other
things?
Didn't
have TVs.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't have TVs, so.
Oh man, I'm getting shivers just thinking of that.
So on the Star Wars theme that you were just talking about, I see that the Yakulite has been canceled.
Yeah,
which is not surprising.
No, it's not. Like, I think it definitely it got better as the season went on, but. You know, that's like saying you went from like, oh, well, someone pooped in my ice cream to, well, they just peed in it a little bit. You know, it's still not, I still don't want to eat that ice cream not yet, you know?
Yeah. I saw an article, the girl who played this starred in the Acolyte, how she's been.
The twins.
Yeah, she's been hassled online, and Star Wars fans can be the worst. Like, they're.
Well, and here's the thing, there are some valid criticisms, many valid criticisms for the show. But the thing that frustrated me is the stuff that I saw people complaining about online is not the stuff that we should be complaining about. Like, there are so many people complaining that Ki-Adi Mundi couldn't have been in the show because in this one. Reference guide written in 2001 after a Phantom Menace, it says that his age is only 90 years old in the Phantom Menace. I'm like, who gives a shit? He's an alien. They can make him. That's not what I'm upset about. I'm upset that the effects look bad and the acting is wooden and the story doesn't make sense. And that's what
the writing was so bad. Like, yeah. The dialogue wasn't the worst. The acting was bad, but the dialogue itself wasn't the worst. But the actual storyline was uninteresting.
Yeah, like it felt like when you like when I was first kind of seeing the trailers, it felt like it was going to be a much bigger story, and it only takes place over a couple days. It was a very small story, and I you know what, there were some things that I thought that the action scenes, like the lightsaber combat, in my opinion, was some of the best I've ever seen in Star Wars. You know, like the Quimir, the dark side guy using the two sabers and everything. Like, I thought a lot of his fights were really, really cool. Like, he was a force to be reckoned with, no pun intended, you know?
And it's really too bad because all of us Star Wars fans were really looking forward to learning about the High Republic. It was the height of the Republic, right? And we wanted we wanted those really amazing battles, and yeah, it was just we wanted something a lot bigger. And
well, and I mean, I'm seeing articles kind of prior to it coming out, and there was a little bit of controversy, but it was like talking about how they brought on a bunch of writers who had never seen Star Wars before because they wanted to have writers that had an outside perspective. And it's like, well, maybe you should just get some people that are big fans to help you write your show. The series and franchise that has some of the craziest fans that care about continuity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, all going on top of it too, even like the creator, the showrunner, the Leslie Headland, like she has a lot of controversy because she was like Harvey Weinstein's like personal assistant for like 20 years or something like that too. So,
oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I feel like the show started with, you know, a lot of kind of controversy, but then I feel like it just got muddled in, hey, we're making a 20-minute episode and it feels like the episode ends halfway through a 40-minute episode, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
They needed to, like, Andor. Andor has these hour-long episodes that feel like almost a Game of Thrones kind of budget with everything, you know? And then he's like, you watch this, and it's like, you know, 10 minutes of credits and a 30-minute runtime. It's like, you know, the animated shows are longer than some of these live-action episodes.
So, moving on. Last thing is our big question of the day, or we always like to wrap up with a miscellaneous question. And then this one actually just came about a couple days ago. I had the TV on upstairs. I was watching Expendables 2. It happened to be on TV. So while I was busy in the kitchen, threw it on. And it got me thinking about the Expendables series, which, the fourth one came out last year. And I mean, the first and second ones it was a novel idea. Take these old action heroes and put them in a movie together again. And, you know, but by the fourth one, it's like, oh, they've done this. Like, I don't really care anymore. And then recently I actually just saw an interview with Quentin Tarantino where he said that the one trilogy that in his opinion worked to the nth degree, and those were his words, was Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He said the characters, the stories, everything tied together so well. And then he went on further to talk about how he has never watched Toy Story 4 because he believed Toy Story 3 is the perfect ending to the trilogy. And he didn't care that he doesn't care how good Toy Story 4 was. The movie, the trilogy ended at 3. And I actually 100% agree with
that.
4 was a completely unnecessary money grab.
Oh, well, I mean, not on that, but they're making Toy Story 5 right now.
Well, and don't get me wrong, 4 was a good movie. I kind of enjoyed it, but it was unnecessary. They should have just stopped, right?
Or if they want, go do a different Toy Story with different toys and a different family and everything, you know? Like, if you still want to stay in that universe, you can, but yeah, like we have so much of this desire of, you know, touching what was old and kind of almost muddying the legacy in a way.
I know, right? Yeah. So that brought up my question. Is there a movie series that's amazing but just goes on too long?
I mean, I think there's a lot of them. I mean, like, there's a lot of the slasher ones from the 80s and stuff like that. Like, you know, the Halloween and the Friday the 13th. And I think it's just because they were cheap and easy to make and they make money. So they just kept pumping them out, you know?
But I wouldn't call those amazing movies.
Like, no, I guess that's true.
The Friday the 13th movies were the first one was something a little different. But, you know, even the Nightmare on Elm Street. I loved the first one and two. But I wouldn't consider those to be amazing movies.
I mean, in a way, you could also argue Star Wars.
yeah, there definitely could be an argument made for Star Wars that they just went on too long. But in I'm talking more about where they just continue the story on and on and on and on. Whereas Star Wars, they went back and did a prequel, right?
That's true. Yeah,
like there's lots that have gone on too long. The Fast and the Furious, the Mission Impossibles, Mad Max and Road Warrior were amazing movies. And the third one, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, was not. So what would you pick as like one of your favorite series that just went on too long?
I mean, like, it really is. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's exactly fits because it's really only the first two that were good, but like they still keep, they're still making them, but like the first Home Alone is like one of my favorite Christmas movies out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a really good job with Home Alone 2 in that you think it's just going to be a, you know, okay, we're going to redo the thing. And they take it a different direction of, instead of him getting left at home, he goes to a completely different city. And they do a really interesting twist on the original movie, you know. And, I mean, the first two Home Alone movies were just, like, box office giants. The amount of money that they made was just ludicrous. But they're still making them. Like, there's, like, I think they're up to the sixth Home Alone movie now. Now, granted, none of the rest of them have all been, like, just straight to video on demand or DVDs. Like, they're not part of the overarching whatever Kevin storyline. It's a different kid just getting, it's essentially just them retreading the original Home Alone. But, like, the most recent one came out in, like, 2021, you know?
Really?
Yeah, like, they're still making these, you know? And, like, I mean, I know he's retired from acting, but, like, I think it'd be almost interesting if they were to do, like, a revival or reboot, if they really wanted to do it, and have Macaulay Culkin come back, and have it almost be, like, hit, like, Kevin as an adult, and have him almost like a Saw movie, like, he has the burglars trapped in his house of horrors and everything like that, and it's all the traps from when he was a kid, but now, like, amplified to adult level, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's what I would say. That's, like, they're obviously just beating the dead horse to get every dollar they can out of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and so often they do that, right?
Yeah.
I considered, like, you know, there's Aliens. Alien and Aliens were amazing. They probably should have stopped after that, although I haven't seen Romulus. It's gotten pretty good reviews.
The thing about Aliens, though, like, the Alien, every single Alien movie in their franchise has been very different from each other. From Alien to Aliens to Alien 3 to Aliens. Like, they're all different, like, kind of tones and directors and takes on the Aliens universe. You know what I mean? From, like,
They try to change it up, don't they?
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, good on them for that, even if it hasn't really worked.
My pick for a movie series that was amazing, that lost its way and went on too long, is the Indiana Jones series.
Yeah.
They really should have just ended it after 3. It would have been, I didn't love 2, but I loved, like, favorite movies. I can rewatch them all the time, 1 and 3. I'll watch 2 again. But since then, the rest of it has just been garbage.
Yeah, like, and I would say that the fifth one was certainly better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but I would still put the original 3 above number 5, you know, like,
you and I could have written a better story for number 5.
Yeah, like, I feel like sure, it's cool seeing them, and honestly, like, the whole ending part of it, when they actually go back in time and everything, I thought that was amazing. And I'm like, this is how they end Indiana Jones. End with the guy that's been obsessed with history. Have him die in the past. Have him stay there. And or have, like,
in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he comes back to the future. Like, screw off. Like, that would have been such a perfect end to the entire Indiana, you know, storyline. Like, that would fit his character. And he even wants that. He wants to be there in whatever it was, Archimedes or whatever the Greek guy was, you know, like, the fact that he could, and, you know, and they could even have had at the very end have a different arc, and if they want to go with stay in the Indiana Jones universe per se, but have a different, you know, whatever, archaeologist adventurer, and have the end of the movie be, you know, them opening up some sort of sarcophagus thing, and there's Indy, and they would have it, the hat would be in the tomb or something like that. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
That would have been so cool, you know. But no, you know, he's got to come back because we got to fill in a couple more cameos and everything. You know what I mean? Like,
and we may want to make another one. You know?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of curious how many movies, because, like, we always hear in movies when it's like, oh, well, the producers got involved and the executives got involved in the writing room, and that's when things get muddied, and that's, you know, oh, that's why the movie didn't do good, because the how many times are, like, maybe the executives are right a lot. Maybe there's a lot of movies that are fixed by the business suits guys, but it seems like we always hear, and it feels like when there's the meddling from the money side of it, that's when the movies really, when you're making the movie to make money, I feel like it isn't as strong than if you were just making it to make a good story.
That's why we need directors that can say no to the money guys, right?
Well, curious to see. I mean, Megalopolis, that's completely funded by Francis Ford Coppola. And
that isn't a recipe for always success. I mean, Horizon is a terrible movie.
I do really want to see Megalopolis, but I'm also very interested to see, like, man, is this just going to be the weirdest, like, not good thing in the world? Because I think it's very, like kind of the coming from his origins of, you know, the early 70s of, like, you know, the American Zoetrope group and the very out there kind of ideas. I think it's very much like that in a modern day movie. So be curious to see what that's like.
Yeah, Horizon Part 1 might be my biggest disappointment of the year.
Really, hey?
Yeah. I wanted a good Western, and I did not get one.
They don't make good Westerns anymore. Like,
apparently not.
Compared to, like, you know, from, like, the 60s to the 80s and everything, like, I couldn't even tell you the last probably Western movie that was really good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
They need to go back to Italy and start making them, you know?
That's right. Spaghetti Westerns. Let's get them back.
Bring them back.
All right. Well, we've been talking for an hour, so I suppose we should wrap it up.
Well, it was good to be back.
It is good to be back. And we'll try not to go 3 months without doing our next one.
Only 2 months.
or less, maybe. Hopefully anyway, less. If you guys stuck with us for this hour, we appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you at the movies again.